is good because those Red Command leaders are the same drug cartels that are financing the rise of Lula da Silva back to power. So it makes it once again, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Red Pill News. I hope you're having a lovely day. I hope you had a great weekend. Today, I have several interesting stories to bring you. First of all, we're going to be taking a look at an email I received from a viewer that lives in California. Now, if you'll remember, a couple of months ago, I brought you some disturbing news about Geico rapidly shutting down all of their locations in California. Well, it looks like this was a harbinger of things to come, because my viewer has given me some really upsetting information for anybody who drives and lives in the state of California. Then we're going to be taking a look at a recently revealed document from David Brock. Remember, David Brock, the creator of Media Matters, Correct the Record, he is essentially Hillary Clinton's paid attack dog. He goes out and tries to take down the right-wing media, tries to take down podcasters like myself, but unfortunately, it has not worked for David, and our message continues to spread. Well, it looks like he and his organizations have a plan for how they're going to combat that in the coming year, and that includes halting investigations into Joe Biden, and of course, stopping the flow of information about those investigations. And that will probably mean more attacks on right-wing media and alternative media. And then finally, we have some incredible stuff happening in Brazil right now. It looks like the military has gone into the slums and is in the process of decapitating the cartel boss heads, the same cartel boss heads that are supporting the communist takeover by Lula da Silva. This means that Jair Bolsonaro might very well retain power because, let's be honest, he won the election, and that's the reason the people of Brazil have been out in the streets in full force for weeks on end. So we've got some on-the-ground reporting from that, some video of what's been happening, and of course, a detailed explanation of what's probably taking place with this very interesting military coup. So do me a favor, sit back, relax, and grab your popcorn, because we're going to be right back after this. All right, guys, welcome back. Thanks for sticking around. Just real briefly, I wanted to bring this to your attention because I know I have quite a few people that live in the state of California that watch the show. Obviously, California is an important part of American history. You know, it's always been seen as this promised land. And until very recently, it kind of was. You went west to find your fortune. People flew to Hollywood. They tried to become stars. Well, that whole dream and that mystique has really crumbled in recent years. And it's only getting worse by the day. Now, a large part of that reason is because of the government of California. They refuse to rein in crime. They are putting all of their eggs into the baskets of, energy that is renewable, so solar, wind, stuff like that. The only problem is it's not ready for prime time. Now, California has set this commitment to go all electric in terms of their vehicles, I believe by 2030. And they're already basically shutting down the purchase of new cars there. They don't want you to purchase gasoline-powered engines. And it looks like now the insurance companies that would cover those vehicles are getting into the act. A couple of months ago, I brought you word about Geico shutting down all of their businesses in the state of California. Apparently, they were still going to offer insurance, but they were just no longer going to have brick and mortar businesses. Well, my viewer, Craig, wanted me to know about some major changes that are coming to the automobile insurance market as of January 1st. Apparently, according to his insurance agent, there will be very few insurance companies that even offer automobile insurance come January 1st. And out of the ones who do remain, apparently they're going to be very selective about who they choose to insure. So that means that if you need insurance after January 1st, and believe me, there are millions of Californians who do, they're going to have to go onto a waiting list as the insurance companies determine who they're going to allow to have insurance. Now, I don't know if this is only for new policies. I don't know if this is going to be something that you're grandfathered in if you already have insurance, but the way it sounds, it's going to be very difficult to get insurance if you're living in California and you have a car. Now, let's say that you go to a few different providers. Well, they're going to basically be able to charge you whatever they want because of the scarcity of coverage that's available in California. Now, also think about this. What would you do if you didn't have a car? Well, you would probably just end up using a rideshare, like an Uber or a Lyft. Well, apparently, Uber and Lyft are required to carry additional insurance, and the insurance companies are even going to be restricting those as well, meaning that a lot of people who are using their cars for business and the purpose of, you know, driving a Lyft or driving an Uber, they're not going to be able to do it anymore. So essentially, it looks like California is forcing people to go all electric. Or rather than driving a car at all, you're going to have to drive like an electric bike or a scooter, something that essentially doesn't require insurance. Now, think about the incredible traffic that you have in major metropolitan areas. Think about the lack of services in the city for public transportation. If suddenly you have millions of people who can no longer drive their cars, they're going to be getting onto these buses. The traffic jams are going to be even worse, and the commute times are going to get just absolutely ungodly. So I just wanted to make sure that you, if you are a California viewer, if you're aware of this, you should probably call your insurance company and see how things are going to change come January 1st. And if this is what I think it is, if this is really just a wholesale attempt to get people to stop driving their cars, if you have to drive your car for work, if there is no other possible option for you, there is no public transportation, or you don't want to ride the bus with homeless junkies, then you may want to consider moving out of California or perhaps moving to the countryside where you can survive on your own and not have to worry about problems like this. New California cannot come soon enough. All right, next, we're going to be talking about this confidential memorandum that somehow made its way out into the public. It's by a man named David Brock, who you should know very well. David Brock is historically the paid attack dog of Hillary Clinton. He has a network of companies, something like 42 different companies, and he's looking to add to that portfolio. Places like Media Matters, places like Correct the Record. You can look into him and you will find a lot of dirt associated with this guy. But basically, his main MO is to destroy information coming out against the people that he is employed by. People like Hillary Clinton, people like the Democrat Party. Of course, in this instance here in this memorandum, he's talking about supporting the Biden administration. Now, what's interesting is Brock believes it's a foregone conclusion. Once the Republicans take control of the House of Representatives, they will be impeaching Joe Biden. I wish Kevin McCarthy had that same opinion, because as it looks, if he is Speaker of the House, he apparently doesn't even want impeachment articles to come to the floor. So, why is he worried about Joe Biden being impeached if Joe Biden hasn't done anything wrong? Well, David Brock understands that there is a significant amount of damage that a Republican House of Representatives can do to Joe Biden with never-ending investigations. How does he know that? Well, because he oversaw a lot of that with Donald Trump during the course of his administration. You know, after President Trump came into power in 2017, the Democrats went off the handle. They spent millions of dollars on investigations that went absolutely nowhere, accusing the president of crimes that he never committed. But the difference with Joe Biden and the Biden family is that they have actually committed crimes. Joe Biden has failed to enforce immigration laws. Joe Biden has failed to stop his family from influence peddling. Joe Biden may very well be a child molester, allegedly. We'll find out, though, at some point in the future, I'm certain. But either way, the Biden regime is planning a response if there is some type of barrage of investigations. However, it looks like they understand that it can't solely be coming from them. And that's where David Brock plan for this organization, Facts First USA, comes from. Essentially, David Brock's Facts First organization would act as a robust external force. He titles it a SWAT team with additional capacity. It would be there to ensure that the media and the public do not accept what he considers to be a false narrative and what you and I would consider to be evidence of crimes. However, there's no... There is nothing in quotations when it comes to the evidence of crimes. It actually just is evidence of crimes. So David Brock also goes into a number of investigations that have been successful that Republicans have spearheaded in the past. Investigations into the Clintons like Whitewater, Travelgate, and Filegate. Filegate, you might not remember, but this was the use of FBI background checks to dig up dirt on Republicans and people that were working against the Clintons. Really, really underhanded stuff. And then, of course, in the Obama regime, we had Benghazi. That was a huge deal. We also had Fast and Furious, Americans dying because the United States government government was transferring weapons into the hands of the cartel. And then, of course, you can't forget Solyndra, the $535 million bankruptcy that was a sweetheart deal given by the Obama regime, and Lois Lerner and the IRS scandal. That was the targeting of conservative individuals and groups. I believe Catherine at True the Vote was one of those people. So David Brock then switches gears and goes into a list of expected attacks to come against the Biden regime. And there are plenty, believe me. First and foremost among them is Joe Biden's negligence at securing the southern border and allowing millions of military-age men to come into this country that could potentially endanger the lives of average, everyday American citizens, natural-born American citizens, and yes, even the immigrants that came here legally. And then you can't forget the child and human trafficking aspect of this, because it's very, very deep. Project Veritas has just released a number of exposés on this very subject. And then next, you really can't go anywhere talking about investigations into the Biden regime without bringing up the biggest disappointment of the Biden family. That would be Hunter Biden and his infamous laptops. You've got Burisma. You've got CEFC Energy. You've got millions of dollars in influence peddling. You've got Hunter Biden spending American taxpayer dollars to fly all over the world, collecting deals for the Biden family and giving 10% to the big guy. That one is going to be a big investigation, and I certainly hope that we're going to see charges against Hunter and the rest of the Biden family. And then what about the Afghanistan withdrawal? We have to investigate the Afghanistan withdrawal. That was, without a doubt, the worst military move of the modern age, perhaps of all time. They left billions of dollars of equipment and weapons there, and they just walked out. Not to mention all the people who had previously been working with the United States government that were left behind, and the American citizens themselves that they left behind as well. And then just circling back to the border, it's not only the question of why Joe Biden didn't secure the southern border. It's also the question of whether or not Alejandro Mayorkas, the DHS head, is going to get impeached himself. And it looks like David Brock believes that that will in fact happen. We actually have quite a few people who have come on board to say that Mayorkas should be impeached. 32 members of the House have already co-sponsored articles of impeachment against him. We have 46 members who have called on him to resign, and 133 Republicans have co-signed a letter saying they have grave concerns about him staying in office. Now, all of those numbers are sure to increase once this Republican majority takes place beginning early next year. And then, of course, along with the human trafficking and the crime coming through that southern border, you also have the influx of fentanyl and millions of dead Americans all over the nation. And then we also have to talk about COVID. There must be an investigation into the origins of COVID. There must be an investigation into the lies of Dr. Anthony Fauci and the collusion between the Chinese Communist Party and our own scientific institutions here in our nation. And then, of course, we're going to have investigations into the Department of Justice. I mean, we're talking about FBI misconduct, up the wazoo, too many things for me to even mention. Then we have the unfair and inhumane prosecution of January 6th detainees. And then we have the continued persecution of people like Steve Bannon and President Trump. Then the investigations into the people who thought the election was stolen. I mean, come on. Merrick Garland is another one that really should be impeached, and it looks like that is a distinct possibility to happen as well. But the thing that David Brock is most concerned about is the amplification of Republican talking points and evidence of crimes by Biden and his regime acolytes by people in the right-wing media. That includes the mainstream media, but I think most importantly, he's going to be looking at the alternative media, because there's a lot of things that we discuss that these people in the mainstream media really never even get into the weeds on. So the 24-hour news machine that is sure to be revealed once these investigations begin is going to do incredible damage to Joe Biden. And if he decides to try to run for president again in 2024, there is a distinct possibility that he's going to be persona non grata. As unpopular as Joe Biden currently is, I simply cannot imagine him running for a second term in office, considering the fact that the first was illegitimate. So David Brock wants to use this new organization to shut down the ability of this information to spread, and essentially to create counterpoints in order to stop the information from seeping into the minds of the American people. He talks about the success he's had with Correct the Record and with Media Matters. And look at this. there is a lot of money that David Brock can pour into something like this, because it's not just his own money. He also has political action committees behind him. So this is what they're going to do. They're going to have teams that are ready with research. They're going to have teams ready to do legal analysis. Also, surrogate coordinating, assembling, arming with talking points, and booking a ready group of partisan, nationally recognized speakers without direct ties to the Biden admin to combat the narrative. Rapid response through all of these efforts. They're going to immediately put people out in the field. They're going to have a complicated digital strategy allowing them to leverage social media and the media networks that they already have. They're going to be paying people earned and paid communications. And then, of course, doing outreach through probably marketing efforts like phone calls and letter writing campaigns. But the American Bridge Super PAC, which is David Brock's own Super PAC, is going to provide access to a vault of continuously updated opposition research. It is a digital collection of interviews and sound bites and video clips that rivals the size of the Library of Congress. David Brock has been preparing for this moment for decades. This is the ultimate culmination of his truth fighting machine. He then goes into a list of the people who are going to be part of this Facts First USA organization, and at the end, he claims that they are going to be organizing as a 501c4. The Facts First USA organization is something we must be keeping an eye on, and we have to recognize that there is going to be a lot of misinformation that's going to be flowing around in 2023 and beyond. However, it's not coming from us, and David Brock knows that. David Brock and his organizations are devoted entirely to squashing the truth and stopping people from waking up. All right, two things before we get into the wrap-up story about what's happening in Brazil. I was on Twitter waiting for this Twitter Files episode 2 to drop. I don't see anything yet. It's 3:32. But I did see that Liz Cheney was trending with something like 69,000 tweets. Apparently, Liz Cheney is now ahead of Donald Trump in some presidential opinion poll that was put together by the Hinckley Institute. This is from Utah voters, so it really doesn't hold that much weight. But even still, they're claiming that Ron DeSantis is in the lead in terms of Republican contenders for 2024 with 24%. Liz Cheney's at 16.4% and Donald Trump is at 14.6%. This is, of course, the state where Mitt Romney calls home and he keeps getting elected. So I don't really necessarily trust that this is a legit poll at the end of the day. And then also breaking news out of Arizona, it appears that the stolen election of 2022, the rigged election of 2022 has been certified. Katie Hobbs is now the official winner. And she put this statement out. She said, Arizona had a successful election, but too often throughout the process, powerful voices proliferated misinformation that threatened to disenfranchise voters. Not true. Democracy prevailed, but it's not out of the woods. 2024 will bring a host of challenges from the election denial community that we must prepare for. What do you want to bet Arizona is going to have an official relationship with Facts First USA? I can just see it right now. Now, the one good thing that's going to come out of the certification of this election is that now that it's been certified, a number of official recounts are going to be forced to begin. But the recounts are in three elections that were very, very close. Now, we've said this before, if you count a fraudulent ballot, it's still a fraudulent ballot. Doesn't matter how many times you count it, it still is fraudulent. You have to prove that it's fraudulent, or you have to prove that it's a legitimate ballot in order for it to count. But unfortunately, in today's broken election scheme, that's not what you have to do. And then also now, Carrie Lake can file another official contestation to the certification of this vote. I believe she has 5 days to do it. We're going to have to wait and see what happens here. Hopefully, Katie Hobbs is not going to be governor, but I have to be honest, as close as we are to January 2023, and with this certification, it looks like she may just be. All right, guys. And finally, the subject of the elections in Brazil are weighing heavily on the hearts of Americans, not only because we just went through yet another stolen election here, but because what's happening in Brazil could potentially happen here if people had the balls to stand up. and actually get out there in the streets. Now, this is up to the military as far as I'm concerned. It's quite obvious the United States government is an illegitimate body. Its entity is rotten to the core, and unfortunately, we are being run by criminals. They have stolen and perverted every single institution that we have, much in the exact same way they've done in Brazil. Jair Bolsonaro, extremely popular, recently officially beaten by Lula da Silva, and unfortunately, the people of Brazil are not interested in allowing for that to happen. And fortunately, the people of Brazil are not interested in allowing that to happen. Now, I saw this article early this morning, did a little bit of a deeper dive on it, but the title is Brazil Military Kills Red Command Cartel Leaders and Prepares Takeover. Now, this report came from Matt Turmond. He appeared on the War Room this morning. Now, he said he got this report that the Brazilian military is mobilizing under its constitutional authority to protect democracy. This is exactly what the people have been asking for since this tainted election took place. Sources on the ground now confirm that the army is mobilizing and has eliminated key leaders in the communist allied drug cartels in Rio. Now, it goes into a little more depth. It says, in an unusual step for the military, the army has invaded favelas of Rio de Janeiro and killed top leaders of the Comando Vermelho, which is the Red Command drug cartel. Now, this links out to another article. And if we go to that article, let's open that up in another tab here, and you can see that it's in Portuguese. Now, when I translate it into English, we can see this article is actually from March 12th of 2022, and it contains the same claims that are in the Gateway Pundit article. So, if the source of these claims is this article from nearly 10 months ago, then I think we might be looking at a fake news type situation. Now, of course, I don't think the Gateway Pundit did this on purpose, but we don't know anything other than what Matt Turmond said and then what is being reported in the Gateway Pundit. So, in this article, they say the army began federal military intervention in Brazil and that they went in and they took out the leaders of this Red Command. Now, the situation with the military police and the Brazilian army is a little bit complicated because we think military, we think army. But in Brazil, the military police are essentially just like the state police. They are like militarized state police. They have very rigorous training. You could say that it is militarized. I really don't know how else to put it. But there is a distinction between the Brazilian army and the Brazilian military police. So until we get more information about the specifics of this story, I think it's something that we kind of have to continue to look at with a bit of a skeptical eye. However, they are claiming that these military maneuvers are taking place. And if it's the case, then I'm certain that we're going to get more information about it. But this report right here, coming from ODIA, the heads of drug trafficking of the Red Command, identified as Rodrigo Barbosa Marino, known as, their nicknames, and they have been respectively killed during a military police operation. And the reason that's important is because, as I stated, the military police is distinct from the Brazilian army or the Brazilian military. They're two different things. And it would have to be the Brazilian military that would come in under that constitutional authority and say, we are not going to allow Lula da Silva to take power. Let's go ahead and take a look at this report right here and translate it to English. And what is the date on this report? This one is actually from December 2nd. So this one is much more recent than what we saw earlier. But again, we have images here showing that it is the military police and not the Brazilian army or Brazilian military. But this, in fact, is about the taking out of these Red Command leaders. That is good because those Red Command leaders are the same drug cartels that are financing the rise of Lula da Silva back to power. So it makes it perhaps a little bit more of a tenuous situation for Lula da Silva in his rise to power because he has not become president again yet. So there is still time for the potential of this to play out in a way that would allow for Jair Bolsonaro to remain in power. We do still have a massive attendance of these protests out in the street. Incredible. We have millions and millions of Brazilians all taking to the streets, letting the Brazilian government know that they want Jair Bolsonaro. Let's take a look at some of this footage. I wish the people of America were as devoted as the people of Brazil to caring about the future of their nation. We should literally be out in the streets in full force, every single capital city all across America. Now, as I've reported before, the Brazilian government, the Supreme Court, the corrupt Supreme Court that is in favor of Lula da Silva, is also, at the same time these protests are taking place, they are trying to shut down these protests by threatening people with the loss of their children, the loss of their income, shutting down their bank accounts. But just look at how many people there are. Brazil is a big country. And all over the entire country, you have individuals in the streets making their voices heard, demanding that Jair Bolsonaro is the true, legitimate president of this nation, and that Lula da Silva is an interloper at best. This is a video showing some military movement through Brazil. This is from April of 2022, so this was quite some time ago, but this was also included in that story from the Gateway Pundit. We have a tweet here from the commander of the military, it looks like. That's, again, in Portuguese, so I'm loosely translating it. But they're talking about soldiers who will form the 15th contingent of the some operation on the border with Venezuela in the far north of Brazil. So this is something entirely different. But again, I saw it kind of circulating around in coordination with this story about the Brazilian military, or as it were, the Brazilian military police going in and taking out these drug lords. At the end of the day, it's a good story because, yes, the drug lords have been taken out, but the people who have taken them out are not necessarily the same ones that would have to take control of the country in order to ensure Jair Bolsonaro stays in power. Just something to keep in mind. We're going to be watching this story very closely. All right, my friends, that is all I've got for you today. If you want some more, then make sure you tune in tonight at 10:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Badlands Media, streaming live on Patel Patriot, for an episode of Baseless Conspiracies with myself and John Harold. And then on Wednesdays, don't forget, I do the Altered State Show with my friend Brad Getz at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Other than that, you probably know I'll be back tomorrow at 1 p.m. for an episode of Occam's Razor with myself and Thomas from True Reporting. But until that time, as always, this has been Red Pill 78. My name is Zach Payne, the Corruption Detector, and this was another edition of Red Pill News. Good luck, everyone, and God bless.